can live without feeling love. We can't live, right? We can't live without feeling love. And how many of us do not want to be lovable unto others? None of us. None of us. So here is the key to the issue of love. If you look at all the stories in the Bible, all of the miracles, and even all of the sins committed, it is because of man's quest for love. We always heard a term that you got to love yourself first. Right? Now, if I had to address that issue spiritually, there is maybe lots of ample truth in that. When the world says you got to love yourself first, the world really gives you the definition in a very self-destruct way. Mm-hmm. It is self-centeredness. But we are asked to love ourselves only through the constructive, saving, healing, transforming love of Christ for us. I want to be saved. I want some days to be in heaven with Jesus. I recognize every day I'm a sinner. So regardless of what I do, I will never be wholly righteous. But I believe with all my heart, and that is what is keeping me going and keeping me changing. I believe with all my heart in the verse that I believe B or someone quoted this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:21, that he made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin.
That was Lisa.
That we, through him, might become the righteousness of God. You know, the word righteous means being made right with God. Mm-hmm. That is it.
Wow.
Okay? Righteousness, of course, it is sinlessness.
Right.
I cannot be sinless. Christ is sinless. So daily, I claim the major life and suffering that he has borne for all of my sins, past, present, and to come. And that is the definition of love, which is sacrifice and self-denial. I seek to be there. I am not there yet. But I grow every day. When you experience the love of God for you as a limited, struggling sinner, and you see how your life is changing, you can't help but loving others the same. The Bible said that all have sinned. All pastors do. And all popes. That's why when the Pope have a mass, he always say, also forgive me for my sins. Okay? It's an act of humility. All have sinned and fell short of the glory of God, not a righteous, not even one. So, when someone who is righteous, someone who is loving, someone who is mighty and powerful, come to me a sinner and said, Abraham, I really love who you are. And I want to be your friend. And I want you to come and visit me always and be part of my household. How does that make me feel? That is how I feel in my relationship with Jesus. I have very little to offer him. He has everything to offer me. And that is love. So when I feel so loved, how is my self-esteem? I am least worried about what people think of me. You know, when you are connected to the vine, you bear the fruits of his love. Well, I am a sinner. And I know many pastors will never say such a word in front of the congregation. Why? The congregation will go home and talk of a different sermon. About all of what is wrong about the pastor and what he might be going through. My case is settled. I'm a sinner. Jesus alone is my Savior. He is the lover of my life. And as he saves me every day and loves me every day, it is my goal, it is my petition, it is my desire to love others the same. Because that is the definition of a long life of joy. And in the eyes of God, there is no sin that is bigger than the other. we made it that way. Okay? We made it that way, that there are certain sins that are really juicy, and somehow they are bigger than the sins of others. Wrong. Jesus settled that, and his apostle James in James chapter 2 settled that. That here's the Ten Commandments. If you sin in one, you're guilty of all. Okay, that make us all guilty. Make us all guilty. And therefore, God has left the door of forgiveness open every day. Every day. You know, when you go and work in the backyard, you get dirty. Imagine if you decide to go to bed just like that. And some people do, for whatever reason. You know, lack of water. You know, I've been in part of the world where people didn't have water and they did sleep that way. Imagine if we had access to showers and waters and we decided to go and get dirty and go and sleep. What's going to happen to us eventually? Maybe we'll survive the first day. Maybe we'll survive another day. But what will eventually happen to our bodies?
Get sick.
Absolutely. We'll get sick. And that is the key, my brothers and sisters. That is the key. Every day we make good decisions, we make bad decisions. When we let the bad decisions continue to reside in us without dealing with them, stress becomes distress. Remember the cycle here. When stress becomes distress and we don't deal with it, distress becomes suppressed. Now, when things are weighing heavy on your heart, your mind has to find a solution to it, right? So what really happens, rather than dealing with what is inside, you only deal with what's outside, so you suppress even more. Now, when your stress turns into distress, that is double stress, and where your distress is suppressed, okay, then you reach a point of depression. All of it because we are not dealing with what is irking us inside the healthy way. We deal with it the outside way. I feel very lonely, as I mentioned this morning. When you feel very lonely inside, that is a vacuum of love. Wow. That's what it means. We are relational human beings. We cannot live without relationships. And we cannot live without healthy, loving relationships. God is love. God created us. And God loves us. So because our souls are connected with his love, and he is all holiness and righteousness, when we are born into this earth of sin, the love of God becomes corrupted because the earth is cursed with sin. Our parents, let's make the assumption that they are really very loving, very holy, and very wonderful in loving us, but they are human beings. They also live by the love they have learned from their own parents. And maybe their parents were not dedicated Christians. They did not experience the love of God. They just lived the love that the world taught them how to live. So the love of God in a process has been corrupted in our lives. And therefore, we do not know how to connect with the love of God as we ought to. But it's easier to connect with that love the worldly way. As Eric mentioned this morning, you know, why do some people play Nintendo games or war games for a long period of time? Okay, it's an issue of two things. Loneliness. Okay, I feel lonely in my heart, but I don't know since I did not stop to think about it. And when you feel lonely, this means something very heavy on your heart that you are unable to recognize or deal with, so you want to have some kind of control over it. And since you are unable to control it, you go through those games and see if you can control the world. It's a distortion of reality. Okay? So what happens? You go through all of the emotions, right? Whether you are shooting them dead or who is shooting you dead, it's all happening in your heart and mind. You are trying to deal with what is inside in an external way. You're actually searching for the power of love. And since you are unable to find it, you are trying to find it in Nintendo games, movies after movies after movies, right? Novels, anything else that give you some sort of connection, relationship. And of course, when you make relationship with it, it causes the issue of depression to become alive and you develop a dependency. Every time I'm going to feel low, every time I'm going to feel needy, every time I'm going to feel out of control, I'm going to go to these learned mechanisms to really satisfy the longing of my heart. Does it work? It doesn't. Because when it continues, then there's variety of depressions. And when people do not want to connect with the love of God or do not find the love of God to connect with, the process is not reversed. It continues. So depression becomes oppression. Now that's a serious stage. Because at that time, the devil have a lot of control and is so willing and ready to harm God's children. You see, in all of this process, when we are either trying to find or rejecting the love of Jesus, the devil is having a high time. And when you look at the newspaper every morning or turn the news, what news do you hear?
Bad news.
Very bad news. You know, how often do you hear about murder every day?
Every day.
Violence every day.
Every day.
Now, violence is a form of oppression. That you, someone have gone through all of this process. It can take a month, it can take a year, it can take 5 years, but that is the process. When you reach the point of oppression, Satan is going to use you to harm you or harm others. Now, the step after that is possession. When you get some of those people who are serial killers, and when they interview them, they always say, I don't know, I just heard that voice inside me to go and say, kill my children, kill this and kill that. Now, here is the story of redemption. Do we have stories in the Bible of people who were possessed and Jesus healed?
Yes.
Now, that is the love of God. Listen to this. Even at the end of that process, there is still hope because God's love is everlasting. And we have Mary Magdalene who was possessed with 7 demons. You know what is so amazing? And I look forward to meet Mary Magdalene in heaven. The Bible did not tell us her life story. Did not tell us about what childhood she had. Did not tell us what happened in the family. How much abuses she have gone through until she reached that point. But the Bible told us that even though she was struggling with 7 demons who are trying to destroy her, Jesus came to her life. Jesus loved her for who she is. He looked beyond her faults and saw her deepest need to be loved. And when he offered that love, that is the key, my brothers and sisters. When she accepted that love, Jesus cast out all demons. Because he is the Savior. And all demons and all powers of destruction bow down at his command. No power on this earth can be able to stand against the Savior. And I have seen that happening in my life and in the life of many people I served. Because after his resurrection, when Jesus appeared to the disciples, he told them, all powers have been given unto me in heaven and on earth. And his love for us is overpowering all the powers of the enemy. But we have to accept it. Is that hard? Is it hard to accept the love of God for us? You know, the devil makes it very hard. Here is how he works. And here is how he got us to this messy situation. When we make good decisions and bad decisions, usually the good decision makes us feel good. Right? And at that very time, we are ready to express the love of God, and we are ready to pray, we are ready to praise, we are ready to worship, because we feel good about ourselves. And we feel good about ourselves, then God must love us. Therefore, we got to praise him for what he has done in us. But when we do bad, that is the beginning of the vicious cycle. When we do bad, or perhaps when we feel lonely, and we end up resorting to any form of satisfaction, that we believe it is against the will of God. And we fall into temptation, and we commit sin. How do you feel?
Worse.
Guilty? ashamed,
yeah.
afraid, frustrated that you will never get it right,
mm-hmm.
that the law of God is too difficult.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, the devil said, why do you need to pray? Because he knows
wow.
the key to your life. This means, why do you want to connect with the love of God for you? And because of all of these emotions that are overburdening our hearts, we disconnect from the love of God by choice. Mary Magdalene did not. When Jesus delivered her from 7 demons, listen to this. Did she know much about the theology? She did not. She knew one thing, that Jesus loved her for who she was, the way she was. And she just trusted, if I just become close to him and to his love, I'll be okay. I don't know anything about anything. And you know, the Bible said that she followed him everywhere he went, even during the crucifixion when the men went into hiding. Mary Magdalene followed Jesus because she recognized, hey, my life is in his hand. I'm not afraid of anything and anyone else. After all, I was already destined to eternal damnation. And all the world looked down on me as a sinner without any hope. Now I'm alive and I owe my life to him. So I'm not afraid. I believe every word he said to me. And I'm going to follow him all the way. And she did. And here is the most glorious news. Jesus did not just save Mary Magdalene by his own divine, unfeigned love, unconditional love. Here's the most glorious news. Sunday morning, when Jesus was risen, Mary Magdalene, who was once possessed by 7 demons, was the first human being on earth to take the herald of the resurrection to the world. If that isn't love, I don't know what it is. The love of Jesus is not just forgiving, is not just healing, but it is also transforming. And that is what we have been studying about here. Now, as we continue to struggle every day, I want to encourage you, in case you went to sleep the rest of the sermon, don't make the decision to disconnect from the love of Jesus, even if you are struggling with sin. Right is right, wrong is wrong, righteous is righteousness, sin is sin. Jesus said, know the truth, and the truth will set you free, for he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There is no condemnation upon them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, you look consistently in the Bible, even the Apostle Paul. You look at his life after his transformation. He's been giving tremendous amount of powerful gifts, teaching, preaching, multi-languages. He was also given the power to pray, the power to heal the sick, and the power to raise someone who died. Can you get any better than that?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we hear him say in Romans 7, the law of God is perfect, good, holy and just, the Ten Commandments. He said, to will is present with me, to do I find not. Every time I try to do that which is right, I find myself doing that which is wrong. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Possession. Praise be to God, who gave us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Never disconnect from the love of God. You will wither and you will die. And regardless of where you are in the process today, whether you are stressed, distressed, suppressed, depressed, oppressed, and I can tell you none of you are possessed. Because you will be exhibiting complete different signs. Okay? And I can guarantee you, knowing all of you, none of us here are in that phase of oppression yet. Okay, that's good news. If we are experiencing onset of depression, that is reversible through the love and healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. What you need to do every day is pray.
Yes.
Regardless of your victories and defeats, say, Lord, I cannot trust my love because it's putting me in trouble every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I trust your love for me. Never leave my heart. Save my heart, save my mind, save my body. I am yours. And as you love me, Lord, every day, help me to express my love to others. In the next series coming up, I'm going to be talking about the replacement therapy. Okay? 7 steps of replacement therapy. How to undo all the damage that have been done in your life in the past, and how to redo that with 7 simple steps that can really rehabilitate you and give you a brand new look on life, a brand new identity in Jesus, and a brand new journey. And you will see that all of the hurts, all of the pains, all of the fears, all of the troubles in your life are reversing, and you will still prosper. And your self-esteem will be very strong because you look only unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your life and faith. We were looking at the traits of love found in 1 Corinthians 13, in which I don't possess yet. We have examined those, and we have seen how can we possess that love. And by the way, how can you give that love to others when you don't have it? Shouldn't you have it first so you can give it to others? Listen, here it is. The love we possess and pass unto others is the exact same portion of love we believe we have received of Jesus. So, if you are not long-suffering with others, your mind is saying, Jesus is giving up on me. Unless I become good and righteous every day, the Lord is not going to be that long-suffering with me. Therefore, I disconnect from that love, and so we love others exactly the same. Who are not long-suffering. Okay? And in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul is saying something about love. He said, love suffer long. Love is kind. Love envy not. And we gone through that already. The love of God make us feel content and satisfied. You don't envy anybody else. As I said before, if I envy B, and I said, you know, I wish I have this that B have, or why don't I have what she's got? What I'm asking for is something I cannot tolerate. Because if you ask about something that belongs to somebody else, be very prepared to inherit also all of their life and problems. What they have is very much the out product of who they are.
Right.
So it's quite a sickness to envy anything you don't know anything about. You know, I meet lots of people all the time. You know, I wonder why this family have this and we don't. They said, well, you are looking at it from the long vision.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know anything about other families.
You don't.
Just because you see what you see, it doesn't mean you really know what's going on. So if you envy something that belongs to anybody else, you're quite sick. And be prepared to inherit their problems as well. And that is exactly what happened to those who are trying to keep up with the Joneses. Financial trouble, mental trouble, social trouble, because they are very much fragmented self. They don't know who they are, and they are trying to live a distorted life through that view of others. You don't do that. You are who you are. God made you who you are. You are precious for who you are. Struggling sinner, God loves you still. God hates sin, but never, ever does he hate the sinner. Look at your parents. They taught you right and wrong. Assuming you have wonderful, godly parents. And you know, you may not living up to your parents' expectation today. Isn't that true?
True.
Let us say, I know my mom very well, and I know what my mom wished for me, and she loves me, and she is very grateful to Jesus for who I am today. But knowing what she really desired for me, down deep in her heart, I did not reach that measure yet.
Mm.
But go ahead and ask me the question. Does your mom love you exactly the same, like she always did? I will tell you with complete assurance, yes. Does she know about my struggles? Even though I don't talk to my mom about it, she knows about it. And she hints to me in my conversation for her. But you know, in every word, in every thought, in every statement, I feel her love for me deep and strong, unconditional, unwavering for who I am, and does not wish me any ill. Now, if our parents, who are also struggling sinners, can love us in such a way unconditionally, Jesus said, how about your Father who art in heaven? You see the problem that Satan does? He make us think of God and Jesus Christ the Lord in a complete different perspective so he can have a say and a control over our lives. Because really, we are warring. I talk with atheists from time to time. You know, even atheists, it boggles their mind when you ask them that question. I don't ask them whether you believe in God or not. No need for arguments. I just ask them, do you believe that evil exists? Absolutely. If they don't, then they are completely nuts and they don't belong on the streets. Everyone told me, of course. I said, okay. Do you believe that goodness still exists? Oh, absolutely. So, all atheists that I met did not deny the fact that on this earth there is good and there is evil. And they also go as far as saying there are forces of good and forces of destruction and evil. And then the question is, which forces are in control of our lives? Because we will become either forces of destruction and evil, or forces of love and construction and blessing. It all depends on the spirit we invite to our heart. We have the Holy Spirit that Jesus imparted that give us those traits of characters that we don't have. I come to Christ because I don't have. I don't come to Jesus because I have. He gives me everything that I need to have so I can live an abundant life of faith on this earth. And it is working. Says, love suffer long, love is kind, envy not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. You know, when you vaunt yourself, this means force yourself into acceptance. And when you're puffed up, your pride, those are actually issues of insecurity. That you feel unloved, you feel unaccepted, you feel disapproved of, and you are forcing your way to get those things with pride. Or talking back to people. Or pushing yourself on people. Or correcting everybody else so they can think you are kind of wiser than you are. Insecurities. When we have the love of God in us, we know who we are. And we are not ashamed of who we are. We are ashamed of sin. But we are not ashamed of who we are. Because we are children of the Most High God. And because we know who we are, we slowly move from the area of insecurity. You know, in Abraham's Maslow hierarchy of need, in which I'll be preaching on someday, on the bottom there, Maslow said that we are motivated to make decisions to meet our basic needs for food and water and shelter. Those are issues of insecurity. Issues that bring about insecurity. Okay? That is at the bottom there. That we need food, we need shelter, we need protection. Otherwise, we'll feel vulnerable and insecure. Therefore, we have to go to work. We are motivated to go to work because we don't want to suffer and we don't want our families to suffer. We have to supply those basic needs. But when you go through the process, he leaves this. And he goes right in the middle to the self-esteem issue. We are motivated to behave in the way we do, in right and wrong way, so we can feel good about ourselves. And he is right in that. But on the top of the pyramid is self-actualization. And it's amazing when you study the work of Abraham Maslow. He is hinting clearly there. This is the time when a person feels very one with God. Unafraid, unashamed, feeling good about who they are, motivated to rise up every morning and go do the best they can, they know they will rise and they fall. They know they will succeed and they will fail. But that is very much the understanding of life. But they also know that above all things reside and preside a loving God. It is much higher than self-esteem. It is, I know who I am, as Paul said. He said, I know who I am, and I am persuaded that he is able to do that which he has committed unto me until the day of his appearing. That's why he said, if I live, I live for Christ. If I die, it is gain. Therefore, whether I live or whether I die is unto the Lord. So we can live a very blessed, fulfilling life of self-actualization if we daily feel connected with God regardless of our struggle with sin. You will not overcome sin by running away from a Savior. Right? You are not going to feel loved if you don't experience love. And how on earth are you going to be loving others? You see, all of the issues that we have as teenagers or perhaps adults, because we are learning from the world how to satisfy the need for love. And it's all right. All of us have learned it in right and wrong ways. All of us are living it in right and wrong ways. But Jesus is the right way. Jesus is the truth about life. I'm not afraid. You know, when I read the Bible, okay, I look at the lives of many others and I see my errors. Is that a blessing or a curse? Yes. It's a great blessing. Yes. It's a great blessing that I'm able to see myself for who I am and then to see Jesus for who he is. I am free. I am free from all of the foreboding, controlling, oppressing, depressing, negative emotions of fears, frustrations, worries, guilt. I have to succeed in the eyes of God. You know, now I have to go to school. I got to get straight A's. Either I do that or my friends, my teachers, my family will not think of me as someone important. You know, 45% of high school children are clinically depressed because of that pressure. Because of that pressure. You know, those who feel the love of God in the heart and feel loved by Jesus, they don't care whether they get an A or whether they get a C. But they care a lot that they feel loved and they pass the love of God to others. I'm just amazed with this young people who have brilliant minds who get straight A's in everything. This means they're book smart, but it doesn't mean they're wise. Did you see that? I went to school with people who got straight A's, who are asocial, don't know how to deal with life problems. But when they are in school and we were there, you are under that pressure. Produce, achieve, to become something. Wrong. We can produce and achieve in love. Right love. And life will be worth a living. Because as I said before, in every success, there is a form of failure. You know, I was a student and I was under pressure more than other students in America because I lived on scholarships, not on grants. Okay. And I had to keep my GPA in a certain way in order to get the financial help. Wow. I was a foreign student and I was not allowed to work. Wow. So my academics were completely dependent on the scholarship. So I was tremendous amount of stress to keep studying and studying. And I had to work a little bit, only limited hours. Less than what I wanted in order to have enough pocket to feed myself, take care of my gas, and also to study very hard to keep the scholarship going. But you know, in the process of all of this stress and late nights, I have lost my health. It takes toll on your emotions. It takes toll on your brain. It takes toll on your body. So that helped us to see the difference between success and prosperity. Mm-hmm. There is often failure in earthly successes. You fail in one thing in order to gain another. It is just a zero-sum game. For one company to survive, they have to capture a greater share of the market from the other company. That's success. But prosperity, we can prosper even in failure through the love of God. We're actually never failures unless we decide to stay in failure. You see, failure is not making a mistake. That's not failure. Failure is in making a mistake and doing nothing about it.
Okay.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
So all of our losses can become gain because you will get better at it. I had a humbling experience yesterday, and I shared that with those who were in Bible study, how I failed. I really failed. And I was convicted of my failure right away. I had my devotion in the morning, and my devotion was urging me to be the Good Samaritan, to have the heart of Jesus, to go out of my way and express the love of God to somebody else, to touch somebody else's life. Because that is the sign that I am really a chosen, that I am like Jesus. Because Jesus said, "And by this they shall know that you are my disciple, if you have love one for another." And here I am. After I have had my devotion, took my shower, cleaned the house, I had so many other responsibilities in my mind. I'm walking in my living room and I look down and I see the Jehovah Witnesses sister coming to conference our own neighborhood. And I kind of went like that with my head. You know, there is a sign outside our property that says no trespassing and no solicitation. And I say, you know, I disagree with their theology, and they don't even care about the rules. Look where my heart is now. Look how I'm thinking right now. In the morning in my devotion, I got the message clear. And I'm nodding my head, and I said, okay, I hope they are not going to come and knock my door. I already told myself how I feel, and what am I going to do. Didn't I just pray in the morning? Lord, help me to express my love to somebody else in the same way you love me. Anyway, lo and behold, I'm busy getting myself ready and the doorbell rings. And I go down and I was shocked that it is not just two. There were four. And the two I saw were not the two that opened the door. And the lady came and she said, she looked at me and she decided to tailor her message to my looks. And she said, you know, there's lots of injustices in this world, and I want to give you these two pamphlets to read. You know, I discerned the truth that she is trying to manipulate me, seeing me a colored boy, hoping that she can get into my brain by telling me about injustices in the world. And now I can read their pamphlets. And I said, I am very, very thankful for your offer. I do understand injustice in the world, and I'm also a pastor. So here it is. I'm going to try to kind of deal with it the way it is. And then she continued to talk and tried to convince me to accept the pamphlets. Now, I did in the past several times accept the pamphlets, and I started their faith, and I have love for all of them. That morning was not good. And then you can tell the lady that was speaking to me around 58, 60 years old. And behind that lady was her mentor, her instructor, her trainer. When eventually she insisted, I said, you know, I have a question for you with all respect to what you're doing. There's a sign outside saying no solicitation. Did you read that sign? And that is when the lady froze and I felt bad. And she moved back and her instructor came to the front. And she said, yeah, we read it, but you know, we visited some people. Some tell us, we're glad you're here, and this sign is not really for people like you. But sometimes we run into a person like you who tell us the sign is for you. And I focus on that issue, and I told her, you know, we all drive. Those of us who have driver license, and there is red means stop, yellow slow down, green stop. Imagine if someone told me, no, this is not really for me, it's only from some other people.
Right.
And she was taken and she was surprised. My focus was completely on their trespass and the distress they're bringing me to my home. After that, she said, oh, you're a pastor, you said? I said, I'm working on that. And then she said, you know, we're only doing what Jesus said we ought to do. Go from home to home and go from city to city to proclaim the gospel of good news. And I said, I understand. He also told us to respect the rules of the land. He said, okay, thank you, sorry. They left. Once I locked the door, I am climbing the stairs upset at their responses. And before I reached the top of the stair, the Holy Spirit came and said, what have you done? You missed a great opportunity to express the love of Jesus to them. I let you see them. I give you the opportunity to see their coming so you can pray and prepare yourself. You asked me to give you an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. I brought them all the way to your door. And you send them out. You know, I stood up. I said, she just told me. I know that Jehovah Witness do not believe that Jesus is God. Never will they pray in the name of Jesus. And they will refuse to pray with you if you ask them to pray in the name of Jesus. And I said, boy, I missed the opportunity to connect them with the love of Jesus. Because I should have answered this way. When she said that we're just doing what Jesus said we ought to do, and Jesus said that, to go to every home, to every city, and share the gospel of good news, I should have answered that way. You just mentioned the most precious name of all. You are right. Jesus is the lover of our souls. He is our Savior and Redeemer. He is the soon coming King. I am very thankful you mentioned that to me. Could you please offer a word of prayer with me right here in front of my door in the name of Jesus? That would have accomplished two things. If she did pray in the name of Jesus, then it is a great victory. If she did not, then she and the trainee will understand not to use the name of Jesus in vain to get into people's mind the wrong way, because Jesus will not pardon that. That's actually what Jesus called blasphemy. I missed on that. I did not express the love of God in truth. So let us not miss on that. You know, when I felt bad, immediately I went to the replacement therapy. I was convicted. I went to my knees, asked God to forgive me for the spirit I had toward them. And I asked Jesus to bless their heart, to bless their mind, to bless their life as they are seeking and searching and trying to share the love of God with others, that they may also find the name of Jesus, all sufficient to save, to heal, to restore, and to bless. And then I shared it with other people. It's okay for a pastor to say that he erred. There is power in humility, because humility is the seventh step in rehabilitation. And that is part of God's love working in all of us. Change. It's a change. The Bible said here in 1 Corinthians 13, after talking about all of the definitions, said, love does not behave itself unseemingly, seek not her own. Love is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. I failed. Even though I preach over that, I know about that, and I have counseled many people over this, I still lack. I was provoked. I did think evil. I said, love rejoices not in iniquity, but in truth. I missed on that. I did not rejoice over truth. I focus on their trespass. And it says, love, bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Regardless of what is happening in your own life today, you got to believe that Jesus loves you.
Yes.
And you got to believe that, yes, without Him, you cannot do anything. That is all right. You got to bear the marks of His love in your life and let Him do what you cannot do for yourself. Believe all things, and the end of the result is hope, even in failure. God did not make a mistake when He created you. As a matter of fact, the greatest leaders of the world came out of great failures. So if you feel a failure, you feel you are not reaching there, you're not reaching the people's expectation, throw all of the thoughts out. Every day is a new beginning. Every day is a new beginning.
Yes.
And every weakness you have will become your strength. Because someday, like Paul and Peter, who were so weak, now they overcame in many areas, and God is using them to help others overcome. It is much better when you help others, friends or others. It is much better to say, you know, I can't relate fully to your experience, but I had a similar experience. And here I am today. And I will share with you how the love of God helped me to come thus far. That's a powerful witness. That's a powerful witness. Through the love of Jesus and through a daily life with Christ, every day is a new beginning. And if it's a new beginning, it brings about great fruits. And at the end of the chapter, the Apostle Paul is saying, and now abide faith, hope, and love. The three, but the greatest of these is love. Can you trust someone you don't love? You cannot have faith in anybody if you've not experienced and if you don't know that they love you. How would you trust somebody whom you do not think loves you? And of course, if you don't trust, how can you hope for anything? You know, if you talk to mom and dad about something you need, whether it's a pair of pants or shoes or an instrument, whatever it may be, and you open your heart and you spoke to your parents about it, and some parents said, okay, let us see what we can do about it. You have hope. Only if you believe that your parents love you. Isn't that correct? And you live every day by faith and trust that whatever decisions your parents are going to make, they're going to make it for no other reason but because they love you. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
So really, think about your relationship with Jesus today. We believe in Him less because we have not experienced His love for us in truth. Is there really hope for me? There is always hope for you and me. Always, every day. If you allow the love of God to take control of your life. I'm going to conclude here, and I'm going to finish the sermon, the same sermon next week, because I didn't get into some very important issue. But I want to pass this to you. Since we are relational human beings, and we cannot live without feeling loved and without loving others, here is the way you can have the best relationship in love. Ready for this?
Yes.
You know, look at the traits of love here. None of us have them all. To have the best relationship with anybody, as companions, as brothers and sisters in Christ, or perhaps as friends, or if you are thinking of a future partner, there are three steps that must get you there. If you skip them, you will end up in trouble. The first one is, in that relationship that you are seeking, whether it's friendship or not, there has to be an independent brotherhood and sisterhood in Christ. What does that mean? Independently, if you are seeking after love, listen, you're going to have to love that somebody else, right? You are not going to just wait there for that someone to love on you every day. You're going to have to love them the same. You have to have a relationship with the love of God in your heart in order to be able to love that somebody the same way. That's step number one. I'm going to go into that more in detail next week. If that relationship is not built on that fundamental love of Jesus, Jesus said, when the troubles of life and the conflicts of life and the storms of life and the commotions of life come, most apparently, that relationship will collapse. So after you establish independent brotherhood and sisterhood in Jesus, then you move to the second phase, friendship in Christ. That's different. Brotherhood in Christ is different from friendship in Christ. You know, I have great many brothers and sisters in Christ who love me and whom I learn to love every day. But among all of these thousands of brothers and sisters in Christ, I have only about 5 friends. Those are the friends who through brotherhood in Christ have been tried and tested again and again and again, and been with me there in thick and in thin. They rejoice with me. They cried with me. They always love me, regardless of all of my weaknesses and sin. Never wished me any harm. Spoke the truth in love. Done everything they could. And their love for me was unconditional. Now, out of these groups of friends whom you have experienced, the unconditional, sacrificial, steadfast love of Jesus becomes a partner for life. One of them will become your spouse, and the others will become friends for life. All is based on the love of Jesus. All other relationship, all other endeavors that is built on the other wrong love does not last, and will always climax in something sad until Jesus begins to enter the heart again. Remember, the love of God for you and for me never fails. We decide to fail it. Okay? And remember that the love of God in us and for others never fails. Never fails. Now, Jesus is able to do everything that we cannot do for ourselves because He knew and He knows where we came from.
Yes.
He knows how much we've been hurt throughout our lives. And we know how much damage in our heart, in our mind, and soul. Therefore, just open your heart. Be honest. Be truthful. Be faithful. Let Him know everything He already knows. It is good for you to establish a relationship with His love for you unconditional, because you began the process of healing. And as you heal from the inside out, you become changed and transformed. And you become stronger. You will feel good about yourself, about life, about others. And you will be able to produce the love of God in the life of others. And guess what? You will become very significant when you don't seek after it. I don't love others so they can tell me how important I am. I am important because God loves me. God loves me. And therefore, I love on everybody else. When they think I'm important, it didn't change anything about me. How about if they thought I'm not important? Doesn't change anything about me. Amen? So remember the process. A personal relationship with the love of Jesus will transform your life just as you are. And then a personal relationship with others will make life worth living. That's why we're here today. We are sharing in the love of Jesus. We go to nursing homes. We send cards to family members, to loved ones, to friends. Expression of God's love. We ask God to forgive others who sinned against us because He loved us and forgave us. Amen? Amen. And then out of all of these wonderful acquaintances in Jesus, there will rise friends who will accompany you for life. As we see here. How many years, Mimi? 30, 40 years.
Yes.
Being in different states did not dim that love of God in your heart at all.
States.
Different countries.
Different countries.
Whoa.
Wow. Different countries. The love of God that connected you then is still here. And it remains forever as long as you keep it. That's a proof that there are friends for life. And then partnership for life come from these two. When it doesn't come that way, then we have conflicts. And here is the secret. Someone told me, Abraham, if my parents are alcoholic or smokers, everyone tells me that I'm going to become an alcoholic and a smoker. Mm. Not true.
No, it's not.
The propensity and the chances is 75% yes. But you have 30% you can choose not to if you find the love of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the 30% become 100% protected. Okay? Not because our parents, I never met my dad, not because my mom was imperfect, somehow my world is going to become imperfect. Absolutely not true. God bless my mom for who she is. I love her for who she is. And listen, sometimes she made decisions to hurt my feelings. But she never made the decision to hurt my feelings. I'll give you an example before we pray. I worked very hard as a child. I was in an orphanage, and when I was able to work, I really wanted to help my mom. And I would work very hard, save some money for school, and then go at the end of every 2 weeks and give my mother some money to pay the rent and take care of herself. And here my brother comes, who is refused to stay on the job. My older brother refused to stay on the job. He's a smoker. He is a gambler. He squanders the money. And he walks in. And lo and behold, he asks her for money, and she gave him the money I gave her. I just
wow.
You know, it hurts me.
I know.
And I feel tremendous amount of conflict in my heart. I know my mom loves me. I know my mom appreciates what I just done for her. Why did she give it to him to squander?
I know.
And I asked her one day. I said, "Mom, I'm giving you this as an expression of my love to help you." And with tears in her eyes, "My son, I know you do. I know no one loves me more than you do. But you don't understand a mother's heart." And then she sat down and wept and cried. She said, "You know, since the death of your dad, I had to become mom and dad. I couldn't. I know my son. I live with the pain that he's a smoker. I live with the pain that he's a gambler. Whether what I am doing is right and wrong, here is my greatest fear. If I don't give him the money, he will try to steal and rob and hurt other people to get it." Even though I still disagreed with her decision, I never questioned her love for me. And I have found myself with the deep compassion God has given me to treat others the same. But today, with greater wisdom.
Right.
So not because our parents are imperfect, we think we have an imperfect life. Absolutely true. Listen, our parents and we are the children of God divine. If you believe it and if you accept it, you got it. If you want to live a life of love so abundant, accept the love of Jesus, live the love of Jesus, pass the love of Jesus, live every day to the fullest with the best that you can. In success or in failure, you're loved. And if you feel loved and love others the same, you will prosper. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand together. Our Lord and God, it is beyond human comprehension or understanding how much you loved us and loved someone like Mary Magdalene. But your love is real. Lord, we come to you just as we are, with all of our hearts, with all of our worries, with all of our fears and burdens, with all of the damage done in our heart and mind. May you release us, set us free by the power of your love. May you not allow the adversary to have any say or any control over our lives, for we are fully yours. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for redeeming our lives daily from destruction. Thank you for crowning our life with loving kindness, tender mercy, and long suffering. Lord, may you transform us from the inside out and regardless of the circumstances of life. Teach us the joy and motivate us, Lord, to love one another as you have loved us in Jesus' name. Amen.